1-2, 1-2. Okay.
This segment is a new segment, a new podcast that we're doing. We're calling it The Smoke Deck. We're not trying to get any work done.
Realistically, I just want to bull for half an hour. Little known fact, a lot of military helicopters.
Oh, cherry red. Yeah.
Candy apple red.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Candy apple red. I mean, I flew into Black Hawk is just the name. Their colors are often the variety of the rainbow.
Salmon. The one thing I do know, and I think we'll safely agree, is that this guy.
Yeah, a fart sack.
A fart sack. Are you referring to like the nudity and the
nudity and like a little bit of a tucking of things and things like that? Yeah. So and then, you know, flashing somebody the fruit salad, essentially. The military. 720 backside rodeo, I know, is military. That's when it's an Air Force thing. It's when one airman gives the other one like a horsey ride and then.
One, two, one, two.
So I got to ask, why? What's with the headphones? We're in the same room. You can literally hear me.
You see, Phil, as a radio and audio professional, I know that the fact that we can hear each other has nothing to do with what is being recorded. I want to know if we're overmodulated or undermodulated. You are undermodulated, and I mean that in a totally different way that has nothing to do with audio. You were born undermodulated. Like the star baby.
Like mommy liked vodka.
Well, you look like you should be floating in space at the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey. You're the star baby.
All right. Well, hey, speaking of overmodulated, undermodulated, and words we don't understand, at the end of this segment, we will get to a fun little trivia segment I've prepared. Military jargon or snowboard trick.
Oh, so it's really a combination of words. And you talked about this segment. Well, this segment is a new segment, a new podcast that we're doing. We're calling it The Smoke Deck. What is the smoke deck, Phil, for those not in the know?
Much of my time spent on a ship in the Navy was on the smoke deck, and it was where you would obviously go and people would smoke. You know, it was a sponson kind of overlooking the water. Not a whole lot of work happened there, and if you were there, you were not working at all. So that's why I spent most of my time on the smoke deck.
This is how I can tell that when Phil left the Navy, he was a junior sailor, because for senior sailors, that's where all the work got done. That's where you talk to people and we're like, hey, senior, I got a question for you. Senior chief be like, yeah, what's up, man?
Right.
Sit there having a cigarette and doing that thing. And as a former and unfortunately sometimes current smoker, I spent a lot of time on smoke decks on Navy bases, Army bases, near the Defense Information School. They had a little patio out back, Afghanistan, right outside of where I worked. The smoke deck is kind of a universal place for where you go to decompress a little bit, tell some funny stories, maybe even get some work done. But here, we're going to focus on having the fun conversation thing. We're not trying to get any work done, even though we're at work.
I mean, realistically, I just want to bull for half an hour with you and do as little as possible. So
just like every other half hour that you spent here at Connecting Vets, Phil, from what I can gather.
All right. The first story I think we should get into is this one about the teacher.
Gregory Salcido, everyone's favorite teacher from Pico Rivera, California, I believe it is.
I can't believe this. Matt did a story on it earlier this week on connectingvets.com. And the headline says, a teacher who called military dumb sh- attempts to explain himself, fails miserably.
I'm pretty sure we've got video of it, don't we, Phil?
We do. In fact, Matt was able to find on YouTube this video clip, and I assume this is taken by a student.
It is. It's the student who was being bullied. Three generations, I believe, of his family have served in the United States Marine Corps. He's wearing a Marine Corps sweatshirt. The teacher says, why are you wearing that sweatshirt? And then goes into a tirade, which we do have the audio of.
We got all our freaking night vision goggles, all that kind of stuff, and we can't freaking control these dudes wearing freaking robes and chanclas. Because we got a bunch of dumb shits over there. Think about the people who you know are over there. Your freaking stupid Uncle Louie or whatever, they're dumb shits. They're not like high-level thinkers, they're not academic people, they're not intellectual people. They're the freaking lowest of our low, not morally. You know, I'm not saying they make bad moral decisions, just they're not talented people. That's why I came when the president always says we are the best military in the world. The presidents were all saying, whether it was Obama, whether it's anybody. I was like, no, we don't. The data is in. We don't have a good military. We haven't been able to beat these guys wearing freaking robes and chanclas for 15 years. And you're telling me we couldn't beat the Vietnamese? There are a bunch of people this freaking big throwing rice at us.
we couldn't
beat them.
That's good.
We haven't been able to beat anyone since World War II because we had a freaking bitch and bomb. We didn't get to Hitler first. The Russians got to Hitler first. We don't. Like, it's a lie that our military is freaking bitches.
I'm okay. going to stop it right
there. And I'm going to give a history lesson to a teacher, considering I'm not a teacher. That shouldn't be happening, although considering my thoughts on many of the teachers I had, I'm not surprised. One, Hitler, the Russians got to Hitler first. Here's a history lesson. Nobody got to Hitler. He killed himself.
Yeah.
Also, both sides got to Berlin at the same time, and the Allies allowed the Russians to go into Berlin first. They got there at basically the exact same time. But here, hey, he's pro-Russian, so I've got that. The racism of Vietnam War, that's fun stuff. A bunch of people this high, and I think we can picture him putting his hand down close to the ground, because right. as apparently he knows, all Vietnamese people are like 3 feet tall. So he throws that one out there. And apparently what the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese army were using as a weapon, rice.
They sure as hell weren't throwing rice.
Are you sure? Because Gregory Salcedo seems to think that. Or maybe it's just that racism that he likes throwing out there in a class. The military aren't high thinkers. Well, you know, a lot of advances in technology have actually come out of military bases and military studies. And we've got people like General Mattis, who I think most people agree is a pretty high level thinker. Our military is not good because we haven't been able to beat these guys wearing robes and sandals running around over there. I would make the argument that if our military were given the same rules that the other guys have, meaning no rules, there wouldn't be any of them left to beat. They would be gone and dead. But we hold ourselves to a higher standard. We hold ourselves to the Geneva Conventions. So that's why you don't see us capturing them and beheading them on TV like they do to us and things like that. Going after your stupid Uncle Louie. Well, guess what? The kid wearing the Marine Corps sweatshirt, his uncle is currently serving in the United States Marine Corps. Mm. So that's pretty insulting. So for the student who was at the city council meeting last night saying he doesn't bully people, you shouldn't have graduated high school because you never learned what the definition of a simple word like bully is, you idiot.
Amen. Now, you said this then went, or rather he then appeared at a city council meeting.
Yeah, last night there was a city council meeting and he was censured. So what that means is they voted that they would like him to resign. And he said, no, I'm not going to resign. So what they did was censure him, which means he's a city councilman in name only, essentially. He's not allowed to vote on anything. He's not allowed to be on any committees. He's not allowed to do any of the things that a city councilman does, but he's able to retain the title of city councilman.
You wonder why everybody like can't stand their elected officials.
Typical politics stuff, but there were a lot of veterans in the audience out there and basically just like, you know, freedom isn't free. You stink, Salcedo.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. That's what I would have done. I would have stand there and I would have been, you stink, Salcedo.
So the crap he says in class affects his position with the city council. My question is, can he still teach?
Well, here's the great thing about this story, Phil, since you clearly don't pay attention to what's going on in the world. So I have to give you all the details.
Yeah, oh, I'm the dumb Uncle Louie.
It's exhausting. Maybe there are some dumb it's in the military. Maybe he was right. The other issue is he has previous suspensions as a teacher on his record, including for physically assaulting a child, striking a student, calling another student fat and telling him he looked like Chaz Bono, which of course is Cher and Sonny Bono's transgendered, previously daughter, now son. It's shocking. I think the most shocking thing about this story is not that a teacher doesn't care for the military. There's a lot of that going on in schools. I think we all know the most shocking thing about the story was like, dude, this dude hit a kid and nobody like they suspended him for a week. And then there's like, you know, the kid who's there speaking out for him is like, well, he doesn't bully people. Again, we just heard the audio. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And two, you young man, he was like, well, I was bullied and he helped me. Well, the fact that he didn't bully you doesn't mean it doesn't bully anybody else. And what we clearly heard in that video was bullying, getting other students to laugh at this kid for wearing the Marine Corps shirt because, you know, Marine Corps, the Marines are all stupid. And I'll tell you this, Gregory Salcedo, and you listen good. Only sailors are allowed to call Marines stupid.
Right.
Or Marines themselves, because they sometimes take pride in putting that moniker on themselves. The truth is, there are plenty of very smart Marines out there.
Oh, amen.
Now, are there dumb Marines? Yeah, there's dumb Marines. There's dumb sailors. There's dumb airmen. There's dumb soldiers. And guess what? There's dumb teachers like Gregory Salcedo.
And just to kind of put a bow on how dumb he is, check his apology or his kind of apology out.
Yeah, this is what he said. I'm sorry if your feelings were hurt.
My goal as it relates to my students is to get them to do everything to get through college, he said. it's not just the military. I wouldn't want them to work at a fast food restaurant either.
Yes.
And I'm assuming he's talking there. He wouldn't want them being people that he doesn't deem right. intelligent.
Well, and a corporal in the Marine Corps and the fry cook at McDonald's are basically have the same level of responsibility and stress, right? And no one from the military goes on to do anything. The funny thing about this is also he's from a place where the majority of students, according to him at the city council meeting, are low income and minority students. Now, if you're an okay student and you're not getting scholarships to college, how are you going to pay for that? Hey, you know one way to pay for it? And I'm proof of this because I didn't pay a dime for my college education at a private school in the Northeast. Yeah. So we're talking expensive. The military.
GI Bill.
But no, only stupid people do that. Only stupid people try to find a way in. I mean, you know, some of this kid who was defending him, I wonder what college he's at or what he's doing out there. I mean, maybe he's right. going to Harvard. My guess is he's probably not. And the other thing that I was saying about this to other people that I talked to about it, like, not everybody needs to go to college, dude. There are trade schools out there for important, high-paying jobs. And it's part of this thing where it's like, if everybody's going to college and everybody's pottery and like human artwork and history major right, and, you know, all this
French lit and
all these nonsense majors walking yeah. around like, who's going to fix our cars, man? Who's going to make our food?
Who's going to build your GD house? I mean, right?
Dude, what exactly? I'm sure this would be also some guy, I'm betting you this guy would push most people to go into the humanities. To go into like, well, I think you should do transgender Eskimo studies as your major because it's really a burgeoning industry. And I think there's a lot going on there. It's like, okay, you know what? How many experts do we need in these fields? Not that many. You know why?
Right.
What we need plumbers. We need people, mechanics. If your car stops working tomorrow, Phil, what the hell do you know about an internal combustion engine? You don't even know about this stuff that's happening in the veteran news community. I'm going to guess you can't rebuild the pistons in your engine, right?
No. I couldn't do that. I couldn't fix my turlet if it breaks. I need a plumber. The one thing I do know, and I think we'll safely agree, is that this guy is a...
Yeah, a fart sack.
A fart sack. All right, our next story, we go from a guy who's a complete jerk as a teacher to a guy that's a complete jerk impersonating a general.
Oh, God, this story is so fantastic in so many ways.
let me hit you with the lead, and then you can enlighten me on this story we got from the Washington Post. The Candy Apple Red helicopter descended onto a North Carolina soccer field one evening last November on a top-secret mission approved by President Trump himself. The three-star general was to escort a woman from the grounds of her data analytics firm to a classified briefing at a nearby military base.
And that is all we need to start. Because you know what? That three-star general, Phil?
Yeah.
Turns out this guy, Christian DeGruy, is his name.
Okay.
Not a three-star general. He's a faker. He's stealing valor. He's got a three-star general uniform on, a helicopter lands to pick up this woman. He comes out, security from this large company that the woman works for in North Carolina comes out, and they're like, the hell is going on? There's not supposed to be a helicopter landing here. And if you're security at this big industrial complex and it's landing and you're on your soccer field, you're going to go out there and be like, what's going on? Also, security guys, what type of background do they often tend to have, Phil?
Military,
law enforcement, things like that. They tend to often be from those worlds. So they go out there and they see this Candy Apple Red helicopter set down. And who gets out? In full uniform, a three-star general who salutes them. And you know what the security guys did, Phil? They saluted him right back because they're like, okay.
I guess so.
Three-star admiral. This guy was like, well, I'm wearing the uniform. If I salute him, they're going to salute me back and let me go. And they did. And the reason he was there was to pick up this woman who he had amorous feelings for. He wanted her, Phil. Oh, he wanted her back.
You mean this was all just...
to impress a chick.
This was just to impress a chick.
Yeah, a lady. A lady who was married, it turns out, and a lady who had no romantic interest in him. But he had told her he was going to give her a tour of his command at Fort Bragg. She's like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Right.
Again, he's thinking like relationship. She's thinking like, oh, I get to do something cool with this guy that I know, this friend of mine or whatever.
And quickly, backstory on even how they started chatting. Like,
I don't know. They just met each other someplace.
Somehow they met each other.
They met each other.
Facebook friends or something like that.
Yeah, however they met each other. Whenever they met, he told her that he was a three-star general. And she was like, oh, cool. You know, trying to talk himself up. Like the kid who I ran into at the bar in Gainesville, Florida. The 19-year-old kid in Gainesville telling one of the girls he was a Blue Angel.
Right. I've never heard of this big of a ruse.
No.
I mean, I've heard of people BSing at a bar just to impress a girl, but this guy goes from them being friends to renting a helicopter.
So this is where the story is extra crazy. She's expecting him to show up in a car. Boom. Cherry red helicopter shows up on base. Security guys.
Little known fact, a lot of military helicopters.
Oh, cherry red. Yeah.
Candy apple red.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Candy apple red. I mean, I flew in. So Black Hawk is just the name. Their colors are often the variety of the rainbow.
Salmon.
Yeah. I had one that was painted to look like a Pikachu from Pokemon. Security originally saluted him, but then again, in security, you're typically going to have at least a couple of people who have some military background. That's often a requirement for a lot of those jobs. They started having some questions. Possibly the biggest question I would think, what I would have asked is, the hell is a general doing flying in a civilian candy apple red helicopter?
Right.
And why doesn't his pilot have a military uniform on? So that raised some red flags. The helicopter, she gets in with the helicopter. It takes off. It comes back 30 minutes later. Not enough time to go to Fort Bragg and do a tour and come back. So then you wonder, what's he saying up in the helicopter? Like, yeah, we're on our way to Fort Bragg. The guys are waiting there. And then did he set it up ahead of time where the pilot would turn around and be like, hey, sir, the Taliban is attacking Fort Bragg. I guess we have to go back. Like, this guy, he figured out something. They came back, landed in the same place. Maybe he told her like, hey, instead of that, why don't we just hang out in this helicopter?
I'll just give you a tour of your own hometown. You ever seen it from this view? Hey-o.
Yeah, I think it was Cary, North Carolina, where the company is based or something like that.
Yeah, I've got family down there. Yeah,
So they come back after 30 minutes and security is now there with the police and the police arrest the guy and he gets arrested impersonating an officer, like trespassing, all this other stuff. There's a mugshot of him. You can see it on the Post story and everything. It is a fantastic story, and I'm going to make an argument here, Phil, that may not be popular with some people. Stolen valor, often a sign of mental illness or a sign of you just being some scumbag who wants the glory somebody else earned that you didn't.
Yeah, or maybe just a primal motivation of getting laid.
This guy went through so much and did so much, got a uniform, rents a helicopter, goes up, is able to convince the security originally that he is, in fact, a three-star general. That's big stuff. And perhaps that's the kind of man we need in the United States Army. He's a thinker. He's a mover. He's a shaker. Commission him. Not three-star, four-star, five-star, general of the Army. Put him up there. Let's see what he can do with some actual authority.
Yeah, we could introduce him to some supermodels and say, all of these women want you passionately. All you have to do is take out our fiercest enemies on the battlefield. He just might find a way to disguise himself and do that. I don't know. He'd be like the Taliban pizza delivery guy or something.
Really? The get up and go, the initiative
this guy,
shown
yeah.
by this guy.
I mean, the things we do for love. I'm envisioning what the chat was like when they were in the chopper there. And as you'd said, maybe the pilot was in on the whole thing and was like, sir, we got to turn around. You're urgently needed back at base. We have to take our lady friend home. And I'm wondering if he was like, do you want to play a little stick and rudder up here? Do you want to?
You're disgusting. But knowing what the guy was after.
Okay, our last segment for the smoke deck today is going to be brought to us by the U.S. Olympic team.
Oh, yeah.
Hell of a week. Great clap for what's going on over there.
You know what? They haven't won a whole lot of medals so far. I've been kind of disappointed with the medal tally, you know? There have been a few, but the start of it was kind of a dark time for the U.S. Winter Olympic team.
We're not exactly in first place, but I'm going to salute and I'm going to stand and I'm going to honor them because...
We're not exactly in first place? Does that mean like we're theoretically
I think we're like in fourth.
Place? Yeah.
I think we're in fourth.
Yeah, we'll end up, I think, first.
I think second, we'll do okay, maybe. But...
Dude, Canada, it's winter 11 months a year, so they get to practice extra, so it makes sense. once they're up there, Norway, places like that.
But, yeah. And yeah. So, I mean, they can be good at these things and I'm not going to take it away from them.
Olympic.
But I was so impressed watching Shaun White's gold medal run. You had to admit that was kind of what the Olympics are about for me anyway.
The ginger spinner, Shaun White.
The flying tomato. On the anniversary, I guess, of his, like, whatever, 12th year as an Olympian or whatever, he's
been that long?
He's there. Yeah. He won his first Olympics 12 years ago, and he's there at the halfpipe competition, and I'll set it up just briefly and say that it was what I love about the Olympics. So here, everyone goes, and they all get three runs in the halfpipe.
Right.
Right? Snowboard tricks, aerial maneuvers, flying high, crazy cool to watch, and it comes down to he goes last.
He goes last, and he needs like a crazy score to win, right?
He needs a crazy score because at this point, he's only in second place because this Japanese guy, Ayum Haruma or something, I forget his name exactly, but the Japanese athlete did a phenomenal job. I mean, buddy got like a 95. And to score over a 90 in a snowboard halfpipe competition is near impossible, right? So, I mean, this guy's pulled off crazy tricks. It comes down to one run. He has one run to beat this kid's score. He scored 94 his first run. He fell on his butt and scored only 55 on his second run. So all he's got is this.
Yep.
Drops in, bam, nails it. 1440, followed by another backside 1440, followed by other crazy tricks I can't even really describe, but they're insane to watch. And when he finally lands his last one, he throws his hands up in the air. He knows he's got a good run. And when the score comes out, he beat the Japanese guy by 2 points. He got like a 97 something, and the gold medal, and the crowd goes crazy, and he's tearing up, and he's got the flag, and it's just everything that we love about Olympic competition, you know, winning in the last second. An amazing thing to watch. And another amazing takeaway I had from it was the language. Let's face it, we're military veterans. We have some cool, unique phrases that we use, right? You know, we like FUBAR and
smoke deck,
and you know, the rumor mill, as the Marines would call it, is the Lance Corporal Underground.
And there's a history of it in like old school stuff, like Geedunk. You know what Geedunk is?
Well, I mean, I know it's candy, but yeah, I don't know where it comes from.
It comes from the Navy. That's an old Navy one.
Yeah,
yeah. The head. There's another one. You know, all these old terms. The Navy, in particular, and the Army is the Marine Corps, really all of them. But the Navy has so many different, like scallywag, man. That came from the Navy. That's old school.
That
Navy
almost
stuff.
Sounds like Pirates of the Caribbean. Really.
Oh yeah,
scallywag.
I mean, British Navy for scallywag, I think, but it goes back a long way. So anyway,
I couldn't help but notice when they're describing some of these moves these kids are doing on the halfpipe. I'm like, they almost rival military lingo.
Right.
I mean, they are really expressive and colorful. So I'm going to give you a couple examples here. Okay. You tell me if this is a snowboard move or military slang.
Getting quizzed. Come on, man.
All right.
I'm ready.
Five fingers of death.
Five fingers of death. I know very, very well. It's when Shaun White doesn't score a 97 and punches the Japanese athlete in the face and kills him so that he can then claim the gold medal through combat like the Kumite. But actually, the five fingers of death is the Beef Franks, MRE, and that's what the Marine Corps, I know, nicknamed it, because that's what the guys that I served with would be like, five fingers of death, which would usually mean, because it was awful, it had more of the consistency of a Slim Jim than a actual hot dog or like beef jerky. Nobody wanted it. People would trade the five fingers of death to the one weirdo who did want it for like everything else in their, in his, whatever. They'd have to give up like almost everything to get back like just the main course.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
So they basically trade their entree.
Their entree and everything else in order to just get back an entree that they could actually eat and not worry about being constipated for a month.
Hey, that takes me to my next one, a fart sack.
Oh, we already talked about this one earlier, actually.
Does that follow the five fingers of death?
It certainly can, because I believe that fart sack, at first I thought it might be a snowboarding trick,
right?
Because they're kind of, you know, they throw some names out there, but that's like a sleeping bag, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a military jargon for sleeping bag, which of course, if you have the five fingers of death,
you may do that. Otherwise, you may be gummed up for a good 3-4 months. You may require some surgery to get a ball of cured meat out of your stomach.
Okay. Which one's military? Which one's snowboard? Fruit salad, chicken salad.
Well, I know in the military, we usually talked about the salad more than anything. trying to make a chicken sandwich out of chicken soup.
Right.
Chicken salad and fruit salad See, now there is a thing that I've always heard of as the fruit salad, but it's neither a snowboarding trick nor military jargon. It has to do with, well, I'm not even going to get into it. So fruit salad.
Wait, are you referring to like the nudity and the
and nudity like and a little bit of a tucking of things and things like that? Yeah. So, and then, you know, flashing somebody the fruit salad, essentially, which, you know, it's a horrifying thing, but which
basically
you
giving them the nasty look at the aft end of a sailor's
these,
ship.
These are the old school things that would happen. That, like, I mean, this, do not do that in this day and age. You will be charged with sexual assault of some kind if you're pulling any tricks like that.
Okay, so. Well, I can tell you most assuredly that
it's not that
it's nothing to do with that.
Right.
Fruit salad, chicken salad. One snowboard, one is military jargon.
Fruit salad is going to be snowboarding. Chicken salad is military jargon.
Ah, wrong. No, fruit salad apparently slang for the service member's display of medals and ribbons on a dress uniform.
Oh, you know, I may have heard that once or twice before, but
it's an impressive,
like,
fruit salad you got there.
But like from the kind of people, Chief? From the kind of people that would say Bravo Zulu all the time and stuff like that,
right.
And like, you know, hey, Bravo Zulu, shipmate, and be like, oh, I don't ever want to talk like that guy. So that's probably why I never used it. Right.
And also, interestingly enough, it's not the only food term about a military dress uniform. You know, we all know scrambled eggs, right?
The cover of the officers, lieutenant commander and above.
Yep. All right. Chicken salad is apparently a trick in which the leading hand passes through the legs from the front and grabs the heel edge between the feet.
That's gibberish to me, and I don't care.
At some point in time, the snowboarder leaves the wall of the half pipe, takes to the air, and he reaches down between his feet, I guess, and grabs his board behind him while he's in the air.
Kind of looking like a feathered chick, like the stripped chicken, the skinned chicken, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. They come up with dumb names for stuff. But all right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. That one, I don't like that name, chicken salad. Could have called that something cooler. Like the kiss your butt goodbye, you know, because you're kind of bending down and all right.
Crippler. Is that a military thing or is that a snowboard thing?
That's got to be, in today's kinder, gentler military, that's got to be a snowboarding term.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not going to be calling anybody crippler or anything crippler. Like at Paris Island, there's the DI going like, you will now step into the crippler. If you do not come out, you will never walk again. That's not happening.
No, that is definitely not happening.
You know, but back in the 50s, maybe.
It is happening, and it was part of Sean White's gold medal winning run, I believe.
Oh, when he punched the Japanese athlete in the face afterwards.
No, actually,
the crippler.
Just before the punch to the athlete.
Oh, when he whacked him in the knee like Nancy Kerrigan did to Tonya Harding.
Why?
That was the crippler.
Why?
Hey, keeping it topical. Winter Olympics from 24 years ago.
Tonya Harding reference. I love it. No, the crippler is actually an inverted 540-degree spin performed on the front side wall of the half pipe. It basically looks like an aerial cartwheel. And if you ever see these kids do it, it's just, you're literally, your mind's blown how they land that thing. Because how the hell do you even know where you are after you spin 540 and upside down?
Here's an idea, though, to make the sport more accessible to non-snowboarders like myself. If it looks like an aerial cartwheel, how about we call it the aerial cartwheel?
Because it doesn't take into effect of the 540-degree spin. You're spinning and doing cartwheels.
It's just a fancy cartwheel. So call it the fancy aerial cartwheel.
Well,
the crippler? Because some guy broke his back and never walked again. That's a horrible. Come on, snowboarders. You're supposed to be like the cool, you know, pothead athletes of the Olympics. By the way, everyone who wins a snowboarding medal gets it taken away like 6 months later when the year analysis comes back. We know that's coming. You're going to tell me Sean White's been clean for the last month or two? I believe you.
Bro, if medical cannabis gives us the ability to do that, then pass the medical cannabis,
but
okay?
Because athletics is not allowed, man. It's not allowed.
I really want to learn how to do that.
You got any others for me?
I do, man. A bitchin' Betty.
Oh, well, that's going to be...
Hey, bro, look at that bitchin' Betty.
I don't ever want to hear you talk like that again. let's see. I'm trying to think because I could see where that would be like the bouncing Betty. I know what that is. That's a mine that would actually pop up to waist level before going off.
Yeah.
Nasty, nasty thing. The bitchin' Betty, I'm going to guess, is also a snowboarding move.
No. Oh. Military history. Most U.S. military aircraft feature warning systems that frequently utilize female voices.
Oh.
The phrase is derived from the same anthropomorphizing. That's a big word.
Anthropomorphizing.
Anthrop.
Voiceover artist. illiterate.
What the hell does that mean? The phrase is derived from the same anthropomorphizing many apply to GPS units in cars. So, only bitchin' Bettys alert pilots of life-threatening situations.
English lesson for you today. Anthropomorphizing is giving something that's not a person human qualities. So say, you know, like if you act like a dog as a person, you're anthropomorphizing it. You're giving it human qualities that it does not possess. Like a machine that talks to you, it's still just a machine, but people, you know, give it a name like, oh, this is Alexa. No, this is the GPS system in your phone or Waze or Google Maps or whatever. Yeah. So, okay, cool.
Anthropomorphizing.
Thankfully, never been in the cockpit of an aircraft that was having a warning signal go off.
Yeah, thank you.
I was once in a Black Hawk that had a warning system go off, and even a little anti-fire stuff went out because there was, I think it was a lightning flash or something like that, and it set off. There's a sensor that's meant to catch the light from explosions in there. Right. And if it goes off like automatically, well, whatever the flash was that came outside, I can't remember what it was, made the thing go off. And it was like, oh God, are we going to die? No, we're not going to die. But there was that few seconds of absolute terror. All right, what's next?
I can only imagine that going off in a critical situation. And like, you know,
pilots have to deal with stuff like that.
I can vaguely hear that, but you know, would it be
danger?
Goose, pull the eject lever.
Yeah, well, back
Maverick,
then, yeah.
Pull the eject lever.
You know,
suddenly she's British. I don't know why
pilots.
She's
the
English.
Fact that, well, a lot of them are on the, like the GPS's. It's like turn left. I'm like, Shay, we fought a war so that I didn't have to listen to orders from you people. Don't tell me where to go. The pilots have to deal with that stuff, and that's why they're so cool under pressure. That's why if you like an airline pilot will be like, we're heading into some turbulence. Right wing fell off. Over to the left, you'll notice that there's a whole chunk of the plane missing, and all our flight crew has been sucked out and sent to their screaming deaths. But hopefully we'll get you in there at about 6:30 tonight. Not sure if we're going to land or crash, but we'll get in there. And the weather in Orlando, it's a sunny 84 degrees. So this rain here apparently is not there. Neither is the tornado that has come up in front of us. And we're going to go ahead and deal with that now. You all enjoy the rest of the in-flight movie featuring Sandra Bullock and, you know, whoever. That's, I mean, it's insane how calm they are. I remember a guy trying to land at Newark Airport.
We got a little bit of a tailwind. We should be there about 10 minutes.
There was actual audio. And I remember hearing about this. It was on a radio show. And I remember the dearly departed comedian Patrice O'Neill freaking out about it because the pilots radioed in. They were having a problem. They were coming in to land at Newark Airport. And the front wheel on the aircraft appears to be canted. So they put down the landing gear and the front wheel that's supposed to be pointing forward so that it can roll like a wheel was locked sideways. Would not turn. So they had to land like that. And they're just like, yeah, it appears to be canon. We're going to try to come in. If you could have the fire department ready and waiting on there. We're expecting smoke, flames, possible fatalities. But we'll be there, you know, about 15 minutes. As soon as you tell us you're ready, we're coming in. And we'll see what happens here. And Patrice O'Neill was like, canted? What does that mean? It's sideways? No. A normal person doesn't act that way. But pilots, a lot of them have military backgrounds. And that's why. Because they're used to bitching Betty yelling at them. You know?
Cool as cucumbers, man. Cool under pressure. All right, here's lightning round. Japan Air.
Oh, that is going to be the Enola Gay.
No,
I thought it was a reference to Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
No, sadly, that is not in.
Well, probably happily. Gee, that's a horrible occurrence in history.
I was going to say
Japan
sad.
Air. My God, we dropped atomic bombs on a population.
That's horrible, Eric.
Yes, it is.
Shame on you. Japan Air is where the front hand grabs the toe edge between the front foot.
I think that one I knew from Tony Hawk's skateboarding. I think that's also a skateboarding trip. A lot of snowboarding tricks are based on skateboarding. All right, so lightning round.
Okay, chicken plates.
It's what you put the chicken salad on, which, as we all know, is a trick from snowboarding, as I've known forever and did not get wrong like 5 minutes ago.
Nope, it's sheets of protective material called small arms protective inserts, which are used in the Interceptor body armor system.
I guess that's a different body armor system than the one I wore because we didn't call them that. We called them things that hopefully will work.
Okay. Let me see. A 720 backside rodeo or a 40-40 mic. Which one is snowboard and which one is
the
military?
720 backside rodeo, I know, is military. That's when it's an Air Force thing. It's when one airman gives the other one like a horsey ride and then they go From that's how they like, you know, get from PT to
the chow hall.
No, to the sauna. They go to the sauna before they go to the chow hall. So that's the 720 backside rodeo. It's when, again, one airman and they rotate. So it's not just always the same guy giving the horsey ride. It's right. Sometimes they make sure everybody has a chance to do it. So that's clearly the one. The Mike 4040. I was thinking before about this because you had mentioned that one earlier today. I was thinking it might be the M240 machine gun, but then it popped into my mind. I believe that is actually an underslung grenade launcher for like the M4 and M16.
Good one. Yes. In fact, I think its full name is 4040 Mike Bang Bang because it's an M203 grenade launcher, usually mounted under an M16 or a similar
weapon. Are we
really
using onomatopoeia like bang bang in the names of things? Maybe Gregory Salcedo was right about us. Maybe we are just dumb. What is that? That's the bang bang. It go boom boom and kill the bad guy. I mean, are we really doing that? Of course we are.
I'm pretty sure there's some veterans out there that would like to show Mr. Salcedo the effective use of a 4040 Mike.
Well, don't do that. All he did was said some stupid stuff. That's the other thing about that story, going back to it briefly. Stop sending death threats to the guy if you're one of the idiots doing that. You know, we don't need to physically harm anyone because of something that they're doing, making bad statements.
No, let's just insult the hell out of them. Okay. Yeah. All right, one last one here. Double McTwist, is it a food item at the military or Ooh. Is it a snowboard move?
Well, some bases do have that McDonald's contract where the on-base fast food is McDonald's. My favorite was when it was Del Taco because their burritos were so big and so good. And that's part of why I'm fat now, I think. So the double McTwist, what was it called? Double McTwist. That is,
ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
That's the ice cream thing where they put M&Ms inside of it. I know it. That's it. I win. What do I get? What do I win? What do I get?
You win nothing and a bucket of shame, my friend. Double McTwist. Sean White is credited as the creator of the Double McTwist 1260.
Enough about this guy who looks like the Joker with no face makeup on. I'm done.
He was the first Olympic athlete to perform the trick, introducing it to the world at the 2010 Winter Olympics. And its original name was the Tomahawk.
Hmm.
But he looks neither native.
Have they named any moves after him, like the Howdy Doody 5000 or
5000?
The Howdy Doody 50-50 rail junk turtle? I don't know. I'm just making it up. They're just making it up.
A rail junk turtle.
They can find something for it, man. Telling you right now, Sean, you can do that. You can do that. You can take that. Just give me some credit.
Nice.
Eric Dame nailed this, the rail junk turtle. He's the first one to name this trick. Never snowboarded in his life. Named a trick.
I'm going to quote Billy Madison when I say, I give you no credit. I award you no points.
We are all dumber for having listened to what you said today.
May God have mercy on your soul.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the smoke deck. Now get back to work.
Right on.